With liquidity evaporating, traders desperate for metal are paying sky-high borrowing costs. India's sudden surge in demand has worsened the squeeze, while London's vaults now hold just a fraction of their former inventory.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey, and this is Goldfix Market Rundown. We will be discussing the silver market today from two perspectives. Let's start. 10-year yields are down 8. The dollar is up 37. The S&P 500 is up 113. The VIX is down 1. Gold is up $61 at $40.79 and change. Spot silver is $51.41, up $1.28 above 51, which was a previous resistance area and where someone we believe was sitting on it is no longer sitting on it anymore. Copper, $4.98, up 20 cents. WTI, up $1.03. Natural gas down 5 cents, not correlated with oil. Bitcoin down 600 and change. Ethereum down 58. Bitcoin and Ethereum trade over the weekend, though. They're up. They're back up a little bit. Platinum, palladium, both very strong. Palladium up 32. Platinum up 60. Gold, silver, again, lower, below 80 now. And grains are mixed. Okay, there's the home page. Front and center, the limits of the milkshake theory. That is a comment on what makes as robust as the concept of the milkshake theory is. It has a vulnerability. And not many people talk about the vulnerability. And so we do, and we lay out what the vulnerability is. And that vulnerability is the balance of payments in the globe. And the fact that if you're demanding that people pay you money back, they owe you in dollars, but you restrict the ability to them to earn the dollars, well, can they abrogate that debt? And the answer is eventually yes. Upper left-hand side, London squeeze, the silver war between East and West. Lots of other pieces there. Let's just get right to what we're talking about. We have two topics today. The first topic is silver squeeze, planes headed to London to cover shortfall. This is a news item that came out over the weekend that we added some material to. London's century-old silver market is in turmoil. A powerful short squeeze has pushed benchmark silver past $50 an ounce, currently trading 51 and 36, just the second time ever. With liquidity evaporating, traders desperate for metal are paying sky-high borrowing costs. India's sudden surge in demand has worsened the squeeze, while London's vaults now hold just a fraction of their former inventory. As paper and physical markets collide, costly international shipments may be the only relief. That came out over the weekend, and we posted over the weekend. We emailed that this morning. So that's the news item if you're trying to catch up to what's causing this. We're not going to get into the granular stuff too much today. Before we get to the main topic, I want to go through the related post. The related post, the limits of the milkshake theory. We just explained what that is. Hartnett, in a relatively brief report over the weekend, he discussed two concepts. One is that the gold market should continue rallying to as high, historically speaking, as $6,000. And he also talked about the credit cracks that he sees in the market. London squeezed, that's our opinion of what's going down. We view it as London as being in a sandwich between U.S. demand and China demand. And U.S. or China has to rescue them. And so far, no one really is yet. Founders, the AI bubble and gold debasement narratives. There are two narratives out there competing for people's money. Buy gold because the dollar's going down, buy AI, or don't buy AI because of the bubble. Gold Monthly, that's an ING report. And India halts silver ETF purchases due to shortage. India, I just make a comment that the India report is the point of a spear that we're seeing everywhere. Everyone that we've talked to and we've done the research is pointing to various coin dealers and product sellers restricting access to product. I chose those words carefully. In some instances, you're hearing them say, we're out of product. In other instances, you hear them say, we on the Perth Mint, it actually says technical problems. And in other instances, you'll hear them say, because of logistics issues, we're going to hold off on onboarding new clients. All of those things add up to a coordinated effort by global players to slow down demand, to let the supply in London catch up. That's what's going on. It's the same thing as raising margin requirements. When you raise margin requirements, you slow down demand. They're throttling demand to protect the London hub. That's my opinion. They're not all out of metal. I can get metal. They're all out of metal in the proper form, or they're not onboarding because premiums are too high. This is the world of the coalition of the willing working together. Okay, so editorial stuff aside, let's go to the thing I wanted to talk about. This is the website of the LPMCL, the London Precious Metals Clearing Limited, as in limited risk. And on the front page, there are four banks on the right-hand side. Members of the LPMCL are HSBC, ICBC, JP Morgan, and UBS. They are the bullion banks of the bullion banks. So you have all the bullion banks that face the business, and you've got the four primary dealers. There used to be more. I think Deutsche Bank was one, but they're no longer here. What we are trying to do right now is give you the facts very simply so you can make your own conclusion of what is going on and how it is going on and why we are in the silver crisis that we are in. At the center of the global precious metals market sits the London Precious Metals Clearing Limited, or LPMCL. It is the operational hub through which the world's largest bullion banks settle and clear trades amongst themselves. This is an interbank dealing network, something that I'm familiar with, not a customer-facing market. The member banks currently are HSBC, JP Morgan, ICB Standard, and UBS. They transact bilaterally with each other only using credit lines and unallocated metal accounts to maintain liquidity across the system. These banks face inward towards the hub center when trading with one another and outward when servicing clients. So you can look at them as sitting in a chair and they swivel inward to trade with each other, and they swivel outward to service largely captive clients. Their mutual dealings form the internal liquidity engine that enables the broader spot market to function. The system operates through netting and book entry transfers rather than physical bar movements, meaning the majority of activity exists as ledger adjustments within a closed consortium. To put a little finer point on it, one of the banks has captive clients. This is my client, and a client wants a market or wishes to buy or sell precious metals. At that moment, let's say I'm one of the banks, I'm UBS, let's say. At that moment, if I do not wish to part with my own metal, or if I do not wish to buy my own metal, what I will do is I will turn into the hub and ask the other members, hey, can someone make me a market? So it's a market maker consortium. The thing is, there's no obligation here. So we'll just stay with the facts. Even though they work together and they trade together, the LPMCL is not a central counterparty clearinghouse. It is not an exchange. It's an over-the-counter relationship. There is no pooled collateral. There is no shared guarantee fund like a regular exchange would have. There is no collateralized risk. There is no statutory regulator. Each member is responsible only for its own obligations to itself and its clients. Oversight comes through the London Bullion Market Association's Good Delivery Standards and annual third-party audits of Vault Metal, but not through daily reconciliations or external supervision. Between audits, multiple claims can exist against the same metal, Those come once a year, creating the potential for fractional reserve banking exposure within the system. Essentially, within the hub is a derivatives market. And the derivatives market is four neighbors. And all these neighbors will, from time to time, need to borrow sugar from their neighbor to make a cake. And so they'll say, can I borrow a cup of sugar from you? And the metal doesn't have to move, but the guarantee is there. I have the metal. I say I have the metal. I will give you the metal. And then you then take the metal, literally physically take the metal and give it to your client who's buying it. And then you now have a claim on that metal. There could be more than one claim. Does the other bank in your little circle have the metal? Do they have the sugar? Do they even have the credit to give you the sugar? This is a very serious situation. Now, again, LPMCL is not a regulated financial market infrastructure under UK law. It is not a recognized clearinghouse. It is not a central counterparty, and it is not supervised by the Bank of England or Financial Conduct Authority, known as the FCA. It operates as a private limited company owned by its member banks, governed under English corporate law. Oversight is self-regulatory, coordinated through the London Bullion Market Association. The LBMA sets operational standards, the delivery rules, compliance codes, vault audits, and expects LPMCL members to follow them. It's a self-policing compliance department. The only formal legal obligations come from contract law between the members in the hub and corporate law, company filings, and fiduciary duties. In short, LPMCL is unregulated in the statutory sense. It relies entirely on mutual trust, contractual agreements, and reputational discipline within the LBMA framework. The structure relies on credit and trust, not on legal guarantees. This introduces two primary risks that we're going to outline for you if you're trying to figure out where the smoking gun is and what's going on right now. First, there's credit risk. If one member in this hub becomes financially impaired, or loses credibility amongst its peers may refuse to trade with it, fracturing the network, fracturing the credit trust, the financial trust, the liquidity trust. Second, and this is specific for commodities, physical risk, it also exists. If confidence in the true availability of underlying metal erodes within the counterparty group, I think you have too many claims against that. Everybody cheats, but that's too much, that sort of thing. The entire framework of unallocated clearing could seize up the fractional reserve aspect of it. Either event could trigger a loss of trust similar to the breakdowns seen in other over-the-counter markets that I have participated in, specifically the energy merchant banking crisis or merchant energy crisis that happened after natural gas was deregulated in the U.S. Enron, El Paso, Duke Energy, it all happened. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I was at the hub of that on the floor, as were my colleagues and peers, as we witnessed the exchange absorb the credit risk that they had. There is no exchange to sleeve the credit risk in London. There is no futures exchange. And if they want to use the futures exchange in the US to sleeve the risk, well, that's fine. The problem is the physical risk is the problem. It's not financial risk. Maybe it is financial risk, but the financial risk can be sleeved with an exchange. Your credit's not good with me. Let's meet on the exchange. But the physical risk can't be sleeved when the exchange is in another country under another regulatory body. In essence, the LPMCL is both the strength and vulnerability of the London market. It provides liquidity that anchors global spot pricing, but it also concentrates operational and moral risk within a small, unregulated circle of counterparties. The system functions as long as its members continue to cooperate, and believe in each other's solvency and in each other's reserves. Should that confidence falter, whether through credit stress or an imbalance in physical collateral, the hub that supports the world's precious metals trade could become the very point of failure. Everybody should think about what's going on and come to their own conclusion. This is our version of the hub. So at the dark area in the center, that's the hub. And they face each other and deal. Can I borrow some sugar? Can I borrow some natural gas? I'll get it back to you tomorrow. And that's how it works. And then they turn outward and they face their clients and they say, I'll trade with you. That's the over-the-counter market. The whole thing is the over-the-counter market. This is the interdealing market. This is not a new thing. This is what happens in many big over-the-counter markets, the bond market being the biggest. The problem with this model is there's a physical commodity involved. And when you only audit it once a year by a third party, not even the LBMA, well, you have moral hazard. What's my next picture there? And there's a stylized version of it. I'm Vince. Have a good day.
Well, thanks for watching this morning's Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey. We sure appreciate you tuning in and starting your day with us here. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Please note that this video is not intended as legal licensed financial trading advice and is to be used for informational purposes only. Please contact your financial advisor before making any decisions, and thanks for watching.